Here's a number that should bother you. For most of aviation history, the moment an airliner flew past the coastline and out over the open ocean, air traffic control lost sight of it. Not partially, completely. That radar dome you picture spinning on a tower somewhere, it has a range of about 200 nautical miles on a good day. The Atlantic is roughly 3,000 nautical miles across. So for the vast middle of every ocean crossing, controllers were not tracking those airplanes at all. They were doing math on a piece of paper and hoping everybody stuck to the plan. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're talking about the system that changed that, and the 66 satellites that make it work. Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. If you've got a milestone worth remembering or somebody in your life who does, that's AviationSoul.com. So let's start with the problem, because you can't appreciate the fix until you understand how strange the old system really was. When you fly across the North Atlantic, you're flying what's called the Organized Track System. Think of it as a set of one-way highways in the sky, redrawn twice a day to follow the best winds. Airplanes get assigned a track, an altitude, and a speed, and they file in like beads on a string. Now here's the part that surprises people. Out in the middle of that ocean, with no radar controllers, kept airplanes apart using time and distance rules that were built for a world without any surveillance at all. Laterally, tracks were spaced 60 nautical miles apart. Along the track, airplanes were separated by 10 minutes of flying time, sometimes more. 10 minutes at cruise, that's roughly 80 nautical miles of empty air between you and the airplane ahead, and you couldn't see each other, and neither could the controller. Why so much space? Because the controller genuinely did not know exactly where you were. The airplane reported its position by radio, or later by data link, every so often. In between those reports, your position on the controller's display was an estimate, an educated guess based on your last known point, your speed, and your heading. If something drifted, nobody would know until the next check-in. Here's what most people miss: all that empty ocean airspace, all that wasted altitude, and all those inefficient routes existed for one reason. We simply could not watch the airplanes. The separation wasn't about the airplanes needing that much room, it was about the uncertainty. Now, let's talk about the technology that was supposed to fix this and why it only got us halfway. ADS-B, that stands for Automatic Dependent Surveillance, broadcast. Let me unpack that name, because every word in it is doing a job. Automatic, because it's always running. No pilot input, no controller request. It just transmits dependent, because it depends on the airplane's own navigation system, almost always GPS, to know where it is. The airplane figures out its own position and then tells everyone, surveillance, because that's the function. It's how you get watched and broadcast, because the airplane shouts its position out to anyone listening. Once per second, roughly, your airplane transmits a little packet of data: where I am, how high, how fast, which way I'm going, and who I am. Latitude and longitude straight from the GPS, accurate to a few meters. This is a genuinely better idea than radar. Radar bounces a signal off your aluminum and measures the echo, which gives a controller a range and a bearing, but not much precision at distance. And it updates only as fast as that antenna can spin, maybe once every 4 to 12 seconds. ADS-B skips all of that. The airplane already knows precisely where it is. It just says so every second. The data tells an interesting story here. When the United States and Europe mandated ADS-B, and by 2020 it was required to fly most controlled airspace, controllers over land suddenly had position updates that were faster, more precise, and cheaper than radar. Ground stations, just antennas on towers and rooftops, picked up those once-per-second broadcasts and fed them to the controllers. It worked beautifully over land. And there's the catch that hung over this whole thing for years. ADS-B is just a radio broadcast. Those signals travel line of sight like an FM station. They go out to the horizon and then they're gone. Put a ground antenna on the highest tower you want, it still can't hear an airplane 400 miles out to sea. Because the curve of the Earth is in the way, so we built this elegant, precise, once-per-second surveillance system, and the airplanes that needed it most, the ones alone over the ocean at night, were still invisible. They were broadcasting their exact position every single second to absolutely nobody. Nobody was in range to hear it. Think about that. The airplane is screaming, "Here I am," into the dark, and there's no antenna for 1,000 miles. So, somebody asked the obvious question. What if we put the antenna up high enough that the horizon stops being a problem? What if we put it in space? Let's break down how that actually works, because the engineering is the good part. The company is called Aireon, and rather than launch a fleet of dedicated surveillance satellites, which would have cost a fortune, they did something clever. They hitched a ride. There's a company called Iridium. You may know the name from satellite phones. Iridium runs a constellation of 66 active satellites in low Earth orbit, plus spares, and around 2015 through 2019, they replaced their entire aging fleet with a new generation called Iridium Next, 66 brand new satellites launched in batches, most of them on Falcon 9 rockets out of California. Here's the part that matters for us. When Iridium built those new satellites, they bolted an extra piece of hardware onto each one. A hosted payload, an ADS-B receiver, riding along on somebody else's spacecraft, sharing the ride to orbit, and sharing the power. That receiver is Aireon. So now you have 66 ADS-B antennas, but instead of sitting on towers stuck at the horizon, they're orbiting about 480 miles up. And from that altitude, a single satellite can hear airplanes across a huge circle of the Earth's surface, ocean included. 66 of them, arranged in 6 orbital planes, cross-linked, so they can hand data between each other and route it down to the ground. Together they cover the entire planet pole to pole, every ocean, every remote stretch of desert and jungle and ice where nobody was ever going to build a radar tower. And the beautiful thing is that the airplanes didn't have to change at all. Your airplane is already broadcasting that once-per-second position report for the ground stations. The satellite just listens to the exact same signal from above. No new box in the cockpit, no new mandate, the airplane that was shouting into the dark over the ocean, somebody is finally overhead to hear it. Aireon went fully operational in 2019, and the first place it really got put to work was the North Atlantic, in partnership with Nav Canada and the United Kingdom's Air Navigation Service, the two authorities that run most of that oceanic airspace. So what changed? Let's go back to those separation numbers, because this is where it gets concrete. Remember, 10 minutes in trail, 60 miles between tracks, all of that built on uncertainty. With space-based ADS-B, controllers over the middle of the ocean now get position updates roughly every 8 seconds, and in practice often better than that. Not a guess. An actual GPS position updated continuously on airplanes 1,000 miles from the nearest land. For the first time in history, a controller could watch North Atlantic traffic essentially the way they watch traffic over Chicago. That let them shrink the separation. In trials and then in practice, that 10-minute longitudinal spacing came down dramatically, in some cases to the equivalent of about 5 minutes, and lateral spacing between tracks tightened too. That doesn't sound like much when I say it out loud, but multiply it across the 1,400 or so flights that cross the North Atlantic every single day, and it means more airplanes can fly the exact altitude and the exact track with the best winds, instead of being bumped up or down or sideways to a less efficient routing, because the good spot was already spoken for. Better altitudes and better winds mean less fuel burned. Less fuel means lower cost and less carbon. And tighter, more predictable tracking means a real improvement in safety over the one stretch of the flight where help was always farthest away. Now, I promised you balance, and I meant it. So let's talk honestly about the limits and the caveats, because this is not magic. First, space-based ADS-B is only as good as the airplane's own equipment. Remember that word? Dependent. If an airplane has a poorly performing GPS source, or a transponder that's transmitting weak or corrupted data, the satellite faithfully receives garbage. The system doesn't independently verify your position the way old radar sort of did by physically bouncing a signal off you. It trusts what the airplane tells it. That puts a lot of weight on the integrity of the equipment in the panel, which is exactly why the regulators wrote such strict performance standards into the ADS-B mandate. Second, there's the security question, and it's a real one. ADS-B, by design, is an unencrypted broadcast in the clear. Anybody with a cheap software radio can receive it. That's wonderful for openness. It's why websites can show you live flight tracking, but it also means the signal can, in theory, be spoofed or jammed. Someone could inject a fake target that never existed, or drown out a real one. The community is actively working on this, on validation techniques that cross-check a broadcast position against where the signal physically came from, and space-based reception actually helps here. Because a satellite can sanity check whether a signal really originated where the data claims. But let's be honest that a surveillance system built on an open, trust the sender broadcast has a soft spot, and pretending otherwise would be hype. Third, this is infrastructure with a clock on it. Those Iridium Next satellites have a design life. They will age, and eventually there will have to be a next generation, another constellation, another round of financing and launches to keep global coverage alive. This isn't a monument you build once, it's a service you have to keep renewing. And fourth, a point of perspective. Space-based ADS-B did not eliminate every gap or solve every hard problem. When an airplane's transponder is switched off, the satellite hears nothing because there's nothing to hear. This is surveillance, not radar imaging. It watches cooperative airplanes that are broadcasting. That's the overwhelming majority of commercial traffic, and it's a genuine revolution for them. But it's a tool with a defined job, not a godlike eye. Here's where I land on all of it. For 100 years, the ocean was the great blind spot. We crossed it with procedure and discipline and a lot of empty air because we had no way to watch. And the fix, when it finally came, wasn't a bigger radar or a better tower. It was the realization that the airplanes were already telling us everything, once per second, for free, and all we had to do was get high enough to listen. 66 satellites, a receiver bolted onto somebody else's spacecraft, and suddenly the loneliest airspace on Earth is the best watched it has ever been. That's what good engineering looks like. Not the flashy part, the quiet, elegant part where you solve the problem by seeing it clearly. My thanks to Aireon, Nav Canada, and the technical materials from the FAA and ICAO for the details on how all this fits together. If you want to go deeper, we keep notes and links at radiohanger.com. Next time you're on a red eye and you glance out at that black water with no lights below, remember somebody's finally watching over you 480 miles straight up. This is Vector. Fly smart, and I'll see you on the next one.